注意。
Actually, I saw the ultimate QRP rig
the other day, actually today, thinking of you. Certainly not a budget item, but it was very cool. All right. Any other kilos? Hey, any whiskeys?
WA2UMP.
And what's your pleasure, James?
Yeah, good evening. Jim in Pearl River, New York. Have a brief antenna story.
Got your point on a comment. Very good. Welcome aboard. Any other whiskeys?
W2NIW, Little Ferry, New Jersey.
Evening, Matt. What's your pleasure?
Good evening to all. Under the weather this evening, just participating in the listening mode for just interest.
Welcome aboard. All righty, any other whiskeys?
Echo Kilo with a comment.
Okay, Don, I got you with your comment. Was there, who doubled with Don? Who was the last station with Don? Okay, any other whiskeys?
Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, Randy, with one question.
Good evening, Randy. Got your question noted. Any other whiskeys? All right, any call sign, any type.
A2EIR, none of the above, for now.
Good evening, Howie. Welcome aboard. Any other stations? I got a beep, but I didn't get any voice. You want to try that again, station? Alrighty. Well, let's get rocking here. I'm going to have Don do his comments first, because I think I know what the topic is. But I just want to tell a quick story, and that is that I was scanning the marketplace for more advanced software-defined radio engines, and I found one from Etus, ETTUS. They make a thing called a USRP, and they control it with software called GNU Radio. You can look those up. USRP and GNU Radio. Makes a good Google search. And they have receiver and transceiver boards. And one of the things I kind of liked, it was DC to light, depending on where you want it to be. You can get receive only and transmit only. But the ones that will the ones that are transceive have dual receive and single transmit, so they don't have to be in the same RF space, they don't have to be in the same band. But they're all software defined, very, very cool. And super low power for what they do, but I was thinking about you, Dave. I said, wow, the ultimate QRP rig, one that like a carnivore processes, you know, megahertz of spectrum looking for signals and jumps on it and gives a QRP signal or sets it up for a QRP signal wherever is appropriate. It's pretty cool. Anyway, we'll talk about that in the weeks to come, maybe. Alrighty, with that in mind, W2JEK, K2BAR, your comments, sir.
They are the announcing that the next Barra VE session will be on Friday, June the 14th. At 7 p.m. at the Westwood Regional High School. And that will be the last test session that Barra will be running scheduled until September. School will be closed during July and August, so we won't have any test sessions scheduled at that time for the school at that time. We will have a date set up later in September after I have back to that. W2JEK. Everybody copy me. This is W2JEK.
Oh, I'm sorry. I keyed the wrong radio. I apologize. I grabbed the wrong microphone. I apologize, Don. I was making a transmission. So Yeah, you were a little noisy, but no big deal. So Westwood High School, Friday the 15th. Thank you so much. So Friday the 15th, is that right? Friday the 14th, I guess. Friday the 14th. And Westwood High School in Washington Township. And that's at 7 p.m. Yeah, I'm sorry. Did you catch that, Tom?
Yeah, you're awkward.
Good. All right. Any questions for Don regarding testing in general or this specifically? All righty. Don, you're having a little trouble, but we got your message, though.
Okay, very good. Thank you. W2JEK.
That was kind of bizarre. Very good. All right, very good. Let's see. WA2UMP. Jim, what's your comment?
Yeah, good evening. Well, as I've mentioned before, I rent the upstairs of a house, don't have access to the roof, so my mission has been to find satisfactory indoor antennas. I've had some pretty good success with UHF and VHF, but recently I took the K2, the Elcraft K2 out of the box and attempted to set up a decent indoor antenna and had some successes and failures that I wanted to just share. First attempt was a long wire that ran through the apartment, resonated on 10 through 80, I'm sorry, 10 through 160 with the help of the transmatch, but caused horrible RFI. When I sent code, it would trigger the a wireless doorbell, and the ground fault interrupters would all trigger in the house. So that was not a successful antenna. The one that worked more or less was a half wave dipole for 40 meters, and I put it against the far wall of my apartment, and there was 30 feet in each leg, and I wrapped it around in a rectangle, with one side with a bit of zig and zag in it. And it resonated beautifully. I have an antenna analyzer and ran that, and worked just the way resonated just the way I wanted it. So conclusions are that dipoles tend to work better than long wires, although they best have their place. Both have their place. As far as how it performed, let me let it drop for a second and then I'll tell that story. Okay, it performed like any other indoor antenna, kind of mediocre. I was able to make contacts with it. I worked 40 meter CW, got an S7 report. I was on the 10 meter net Monday night, and Jim K2ZO was kind enough to give me an S7, so at least people did hear me. So it works. It's good enough for local. It's good enough for occasional contacts. It's never get through QRM, never get through QRN, but you can make contacts with it. So I would call that a success. Never as good as an outdoor antenna, but it works. So I'll turn it back to net control. I'm open to any suggestions on how to improve the antenna. Of course, the obvious is put it on the roof, which isn't quite viable right now. But open to any comments or questions or suggestions on how to make this thing work better. Back to net control.
Very good, Jim. And what kind of antenna is it?
It is a 40-meter half-wave loop, which means it's set up as a rectangle where the ends come around and almost meet. And it resonated beautifully. I tried shorting the ends together to make it a full-wave loop and two full-wave loops on 10 and 20, respectively, but got the best results when it was hooked up as just as a 40-meter antenna. A little bit of RFI in the house. I found that the computer, when the laptop was plugged in, my signal to noise ratio deteriorated from the power cube plugged in, because the cord would act like an antenna. But with the laptop unplugged, it worked a bit better. Back to net control.
Very nice. Absolutely very nice. Okay. That's a neat story. Anybody have any thoughts for Jim?
Question, K2EIR.
Heard JDK and then EIR. Who was the other station?
Generated RFI. I went around, ran around the house, turning everything off to see if I could. There was a terrible signal to noise ratio, terrible signal noise in the background. Turned everything off. When I accidentally tripped over the cord to the laptop, the signal, my signal to noise ratio improved when it was unplugged. So I'm anticipating your question. Sorry, let me turn it back to you, Howie, for your question.
We're trying to, Jim. We're trying to settle who responded to you. I thought there might be a third station. So it's JEK first, then EIR. Was there a third station? Okay. Don, go ahead.
That sounds good. That's good antenna. Sounds like you're doing all right. Curious that did you try it on 15 meters, because usually, a 40-meter dipole is, like I have here, you also use that on 15 meters. I was wondering if you had tried that at all.
Well, yes, it is. So there's some zig and zag on one side of the antenna, and the SWR on 15 would come down only to a 3 or 4. I was expecting it to come all the way down. So it only came down to a 3 or 4. I ran the antenna analyzer, so it was a little disappointing, but not too mysterious with all the zig and zag that I put into the antenna. It worked, resonated perfectly on 70 and barely on 15. But long story short, with the Transmatch, it worked decently on 15. Go ahead.
What are you feeding with, coax?
I'm feeding it with coax. I'm using low power, so I'm using number 26 wire with the scotch taped on the wall. You can't even see it. Turned it up as high as 50 watts for the 10-meter net, and it didn't go up in smoke, but normally I use at like 15-20 watts peak. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, fine, yeah. All right. I know there was a little trick on that. Jim K2ZO can explain it too better. About 11 feet out from the center of the thing, add a piece of wire about a foot long, I think, is the trick, or try it with a clip lead and see if that'll bring your 15-meter resonance better. Otherwise it's a little too short, I think, the way it works out to be a 15-meter antenna. I don't know just where the thing's resonant. The antenna analyzer would tell you that, but that's one of the tricks I tell you to do with a 40-meter dipole for 15 meters.
I'll give it a try. Thanks for the suggestion.
Be good. And Howie?
Jim, some of us doubled with you before, so I missed your remarks to me, other than that when you unplugged the laptop, your noise improved. So with the unplugged laptop, what kind of noise level did you have on the S-meter? Assuming that rig will give you like S0 or S1 if it was on a nice antenna outside and on an empty place in the spectrum. Compared to that, what do you have?
Well, with the laptop plugged in, listening to the 10-meter net where you think it would have been quiet, Jim was about an S6 or 7, and the noise level was about 3 or 4. And with the laptop unplugged, the noise level came down to maybe a 2, sometimes a 3, so there was a very noticeable improvement. Still not wonderful, but very, very usable. Go ahead.
What about on 40?
40 meters was about the same, and it varied really on the night. Probably it was a little higher, maybe 4 or 5 noise level, somewhere between a 3 and 5. A little hard for me to recall exactly what it was, but again, usable. Usable and barely usable with the laptop plugged in. Go ahead.
Roger. Well, I think you're more fortunate than me. I did have a loop out on the what I call linear loaded loop that was about 220 feet of wire going up and down the fence posts, and I took off about half of that, hoping to get further away from the cable system, but I tried it the other night, and I actually did make a contact. The guys were running kilowatts and were over S9, but my noise level was S8 to S9, so all from what I believe is the cable. So you're doing better than me. My past experience using very, very thin wire for antennas is you can easily run 100 watts with no problem. I've never had an antenna burn up on me. I think they probably could take a kilowatt. everybody says, well, you're going to have losses and everything else, but that's some of the best ways I've worked out. I remember I used about 80 feet of very thin wire, maybe like number 38, 40, 43, somewhere way up there, as one leg of an off-center fed dipole, and the other leg was an undetermined length of rain gutter, and it worked very well as far as getting out, and no signs of destruction. Back to net control, K2EIR.
You have more comments, Jim?
Okay, the good suggestions about using the drain gutter. I'm trying to be completely stealth here without putting wires out the window, but that's a trick I may eventually try. Too bad about the wire with on the fence post. I'm surprised that didn't give you a better signal to noise ratio. You may just stumble upon disconnecting something. I hear what you're saying about perhaps it's leaky coax. But perhaps you'll stumble upon something, as I did with the tripping over the plug on the computer, and all of a sudden my signal-to-noise ratio improved. It could be just one thing, but keep experimenting, and there might be a solution in there somewhere for you, Howie. Go ahead.
Well, I turned off all the circuit breakers here, so no change. If there's an improvement to be had, it's not going to be within my own apartment. That much is fairly clear at this point. Thanks, K2EIR.
Okay, it sounds like you've tried and are almost running out of things to try, but at least you're good on VHF and UHF. I wonder, is 6 meters any better for you? Go ahead.
I haven't tried listening or working stations on 6. I certainly can bring up a repeater just across the river very nicely. You know, it swamps everything else. But what I use for 6 is, or what I've used so far, I mean, I have other alternatives, is what I'm using right now, 5/8 wave 2-meter antenna. I don't know if you've ever tried it, but it works fairly well on 6 meters if you hit the right place in the band. The problem, again, this antenna is just sitting on a cookie tray, you know, a little small steel tray, and just sitting at the edge of the opening to the attic, you know, right up inside the attic, so that I just run cable down. And there's a lot of noise that gets in there, but on FM you don't really notice it. It gets swamped by all these strong local repeaters. I think for single sideband, it could be a problem. Again, I don't do enough work. I don't have enough time to really experiment, and there often aren't enough signals on 6 meters like sideband to get a fair assessment. K2EIR.
K2EIR, WA2UMP. Okay. It sounds like you've done some experimenting, and I wish you luck with that, and if not, you'll have to think of a few other tricks. I would say I would rate my antenna, if you give an outside antenna a 10, this is going to be between a 3 or 4, and I would call it usable. And I guess that's really all I expected. It's usable to make occasional contacts and get on the net and shoot the breeze a little bit. Back to net control.
Anybody else?
Hey, 72DDK.
Hey, Gary.
Real quick for everybody out there, I was talking to a gentleman last night, very knowledgeable in this, and he suggested a ARRL book, a manual on antennas for apartment dwellers. That looks very interesting, and that's just for general info.
I do have that book, and I got it free when I renewed. It is a decent book. Nothing earth-shattering in there, all kinds of common sense, but did have some good ideas, and is a worthwhile resource to have.
Very good. No problem. 82DDK clear. Back to Nat.
Anybody else? Alrighty, well that was very helpful. Very interesting and enlightening. Let's see who we have next. Oh Lord, I'll tell you. What did I do? Oh, I see what I did. I folded my paper over. Probably lost my roster. Alright. Did you want to add anything further before we wrap this up, Jim, or raise another angle of it?
No, that's good. I enjoyed telling the stories, the trials and tribulations of things that worked and didn't work. The final antenna, the half-wave loop, I would recommend, if you're setting up an indoor antenna, the dipole just works better, although an end-bed, you know, has its place if that's all you can set up. I like the half-wave loop. It's a real space saver. If you do the arithmetic, the ends come around and meet, so you save a lot of space. Rather than it taking 60 foot, it took a quarter of that. And the legs, when you use a half-wave loop, it's about 10% shorter for certain reasons I'm not sure of, but it's always 10% shorter, so you can cut a little. The legs were 30 feet rather than 33 foot, so you save a little bit of space there. Anyway, it's a decent antenna. Never as good as an indoor antenna, but outdoor antenna rather, but it's usable. Anyway, thanks for listening to the story, and back to Net Control.
Very fine. All right. Anybody else have comments on this one? Well, that's good, and I'm glad. And, you know, basically because of the inductance, I think, might be the issue. That might be the opportunity space here. By the way, it's 1-1 in the Western Conference Finals. They found a way to beat Jonathan Quick early tonight. So Chicago's tied the game up. Alrighty. With that in mind, let's see. Who is our next... Our next contributor. Our next contributor is Rich, AC2GI, K2BAR. Go ahead. You have two questions. Let's get one done first.
Good evening, Gordon. Yeah, I'll give you the real quick one first. On the MeshNet routers, what's the power output that they're running?
Plus 19 dBm, or I think that's 79 milliwatts.
All right, one of the guys at the office found a range extender for his home. It's like $89. Brings it up to 600 milliwatts.
You may have to back off the power so you don't overdrive the amplifier or burn it up, but yeah, sounds good. What's its input?
Another antenna. It just has to be, plug it into the wall and put it somewhere else in your house. It's supposed to extend the range. They were giving some distances on it, which I just thought was fantastic. And it'll pass through, if you got a B, it'll pass through a B signal. If you have a G, it'll pass through a G signal. Or an N, it'll pass through an N signal. For under $100, I thought that was pretty good at Sam's Club. But I just wanted to ask that one. Any comment, and then I'll ask the other question.
Okay, is this something you plug into your existing router, or i.e. a bidirectional amplifier, or is this essentially a digipeater?
I think it's the latter, because it's got two antennas on it and it acts like a repeater.
That actually could mess up the routing protocol unless it had a very sterile environment between the two hops. So, you know, i.e., it only had to. I think it could be more trouble than it's worth, actually, and mess up the algorithm a little bit.
That's why I brought it up as a question when I saw it today. I said that might be interesting to get additional power out for the for that mesh network. And my primary question, last Thursday I tried to get in with my HT, and so it didn't work out. But last Thursday I received and opened a box with my first Raspberry Pi in it, and I successfully downloaded the operating system and got it up on my got it up running. And I was just wondering, is there a place for, since I'm not really a programmer, to download already written programs that you can kind of copy, take apart, and learn what they're doing? I know a few of the fellows here have been playing with the Raspberry Pi. Back to you.
Oh, sure. If I just Google for that, you know, Google for Raspberry Pi programming examples or programs or something like that, you'll find oodles of answers to that.
Yeah, I've only really seen, when I've done that, examples on YouTube, and they really don't give the, Python files for it. They just talk about what they did and how it works, but I haven't really found a library of those kind of files.
You hit the nail on the head there. Use the word library and start there. Take apart some libraries, that's always a good start. What else can you do? You'd probably try I'll tell you what, I'll go look through and I'll see what I can find. A couple of different things at once here, but I think I can find you an example that should be pretty good. And I'm having a little fun here because I was actually able to get my other Flex working. I hadn't bothered to power up my Flex 5000 in a while. I've been so busy with the 4000, with the 1500. And so I got that working. But let me open up, I should have a web browser open here. I'll go find you some examples, no problem.
All right, and then I think I just found something. And the Adreno, how much different than that is in Raspberry Pi? I noticed the AWRL sells a book of Adreno projects for ham radio.
Wow, okay. That's a different matter. Let's see. Well, Raspberry Pi will have different programs than the Arduino. So don't get too tied to that idea of using one example or the other. Having said that, there are plenty of Arduino examples, but, you know, I mean, I have an Arduino, and they're useful. Do not get me wrong. But they're not anywhere near as powerful as a Raspberry Pi. So, you know, do keep that in mind. I don't know if there are any AWRL published books on the Raspberry Pi, but I would not be surprised to find that there will be. They're pretty good about staying ahead of that curve. I did a search and it for some reason blew my. Alright, so Raspberry Pi program samples, samples, let's try that, or sample programs, projects, projects.drogon.net seems to have some basics, and there's projects.drogon.net/raspberry-pi will get you started. This is, it's got some really, really good examples.
Okay, I'll check that out. Back to that DC2GI.
I knew I'd seen them before, and I, you know, there's some really nice stuff in there, but there's other ones too. So, you know, keep it simple. By the way, it's ironic, it's Gorton@drogon.net. Go figure. That's the guy who runs the thing. I hadn't noticed that previously, but anyone named Gorton is worth listening to. Grin, grin. Anybody else?
Is it Whiskey Bravo 2, Charlie, Juliet, Lima, just listening over?
Whiskey Bravo 2, Charlie, Juliet, Juliet, Lima. All right, very good. What's your name? Where are you?
My name's Stuart. I'm coming in Brown. Over.
Very good, Stuart. Well, you're welcome aboard. If you have any questions or comments or suggestions to that, hop in. No problem. Alrighty, let's see. Rich, we took, anybody have any more comments for Rich regarding his Raspberry Pi question?
W2JC, you going to let anybody else in? All right.
It's a marvelous idea. Let's do that, too. Another Paramus person. Good evening, James. What's your pleasure?
None of the above.
Okay. Very good. Anything else on this topic, or anybody else want to check in first?
W2LCN, the name is Rick from Bloomingdale. No questions, no comments, just checking in.
Very good, Rick. Welcome aboard. Anybody else?
W2PDQ, checking in.
W2MCR, Hector, checking in.
W2PDQ, W2TTTK2BAR.
This is W2PDQ with WK2BAR. How you doing tonight, Gordon?
Complain. I'm just trying to figure out if you have questions or comments for that.
Well, I have a question, but it's probably complicated because I just bought one of those Kenwood HF units, and I can't. I'm sorry to become late in the net. Stuff to do, but I bought it and hooked it up to an N-Fed antenna, and it only put out 2.5 watts.
All right, we can get to it if you want, but let me just finish what I have on the plate, okay?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Okay, no problem. All right, anybody else wanting to check in on that or adding things to the queue?
To EIR would like to add a question.
All right, we'll get you Howie after that, no problem. And if I didn't do that before, welcome Rick. I have you, Randy, is your next the next question. Anybody else real quick? All righty, Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra, Randy, K2BAR.
Thank you, Gordon. Good evening, everybody. So my question relates to reestablishing my HF station here, and I've moved things around. And, so one of the things I knew I needed to do was to establish a suitable ground for the station. So what I did is I took some very heavy copper strap about 2 inches wide and ran it from my operating position to the outside of the house to a standard ground rod driven almost 8 feet into the ground and pulled it heavily to the ground rod. The length of the strap is around 15 feet and seems to be working just fine for the very few experiments that I've done so far. I wondered if anybody had any comment about the efficacy of a grounding for a station that way, or is there something else that I should be doing back to net control?
How's it on 10 meters?
I haven't tried 10 meters yet. I just got up my new old antenna, which is a Gap Titan. You know, it's a big aluminum stick up in the sky. From the testing I did earlier today, it should, well, the antenna should be working just fine on 10 meters, but I haven't tried yet. Back to net.
Yeah, I would try everything from 50 and on up and see how it works for you. But that's a start, you know? What the heck? I'm impressed. I really am. So you got an 8-foot ground rod, and for good measure, you have a, what do you call it? You have a 15-foot strap that's going to your ground rod from your operating position. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it seemed to be a suitable way of working, and I've got the strap mounted behind the operating position so that I can attach other equipment to it as I desire to. I just wondered if the group had any comments or any pitfalls I might watch out for. Back to net.
W2NCR.
Resonances and halfway resonances come to mind. What's your radio, by the way?
Well, the old one's the Omni 6 that I've had for quite a while. I just got a new toy here that I just set up. K3.
Okay, and that's a K3-100?
That's correct.
Okay, I just wanted to check your power level. So, well, the K3, if I remember, works on 6 meters. That might be some fun in the sun, as it were. You have to try it out and look for RF. Look for RF burns, too. Just out of curiosity, if W2JC's, I mean, probably if W2, probably K2ZO, that's right, K2ZO is on frequency. I'm just wondering, Jim, what are your thoughts about clamping, if the strapping is insulated, what's your thought about clamping ferrites on the 15-foot 15-foot ground strap?
Okay, I didn't catch all of what the original discussion was. This is K2ZO because I was coming in from being mobile, and I didn't quite get that. I'm not sure what you're attempting to do with that. If you're trying to isolate a ground or kind of calm it down, being too long, an old trick is to use a piece of coax center conductor as the ground, and then from the shield go to ground with a capacitor. That's one way of keeping RF off the ground. Do that at both ends. That believe it or not, will work. Back to net, K2ZO.
W2NPR.
Go ahead, Hector.
The other thing you can do, if it becomes a problem, you can take a drill bit and drill a hole in your basement floor, if that's where your shack is, and just bang an 8-foot ground rod on the floor. It doesn't have to be perfectly vertical. It could be at an angle. My station ground, that's exactly what it is. It's, well, I have a 10-foot ground rod, and drilled a hole in the floor, banged it in at an angle, and that's the station ground. like Gordon mentioned, it may be problematic on 10 meters because of the length. And you want to keep your grounds as short as possible. So if that's where your shack is, that's the perfect solution. If that 15-foot ground strap becomes resonant on a frequency. 2JK.
W2JEK, go ahead.
SW2JEK, yeah, I just hope you're in a dry area if you're drilling a hole in the basement floor, otherwise you wind up with a flood. That would be a difficult thing to waterproof. But one thought I have, usually if you have a problem with that, let's take a short radio inside the shack, even an 8-foot piece of wire just hooked to the ground plug on your radio might be enough to calm it down. I have an end-fed wire here, and I was using a tuner mounted by the cellar window, and I was using the water pipe for the ground, and didn't come good on 10 meters. So what I did is I clipped a 8-foot piece of wire to the chassis of the tuner, and just clipped it onto the wooden beams in the cellar, and that calmed the thing down, and I got good results. Something like that might just be helpful. Back to net, W2JK.
Okie dokie. The other approach is, well, Randy, by any chance do you have a French drain, and is your ham shack located in proximity to the French drain?
No, the shack is in the basement, which is a plus, but it's not near a French drain.
It was just a thought. I thought it was a rather witty thought myself, but, yeah. That way you just go into the trench and just bang the thing into the trench. But okay, just a thought. And who else has the comments for Randy?
You have a 2EIR.
For a lot of them. Okay, we'll take Howie first.
Okay, I think we're talking here about a basket of fruit, so that we have both apples and oranges. And that's the only point I want to make to make it explicit. Are we talking about RF grounding, or are we talking about, for lack of a better term, DC grounding, lightning protection, etc.? Because they're quite two different things, and usually the 8-foot rod in the ground is for DC and lightning protection, and RF grounding is a whole other matter. So I think there's plenty of good literature if you look for it on RF grounding and the things to try. The lightning protection avenue, there are some QST articles, and I never mastered them because I thought they got a little bit esoteric and I found it a little hard to read. About the distinctions they were making and how critical they could be. And also, I know the lightning arrested folks, and there's more than one outfit out there, have helpful information on their web pages. So I just wanted to make that, it should be explicit. What's the objective here? K2EIR.
Randy?
Yes, thank you. I'm glad you brought that to clarify the point. Yes, I was primarily interested in RF grounding at this stage. Thanks.
Okay, Howie, any more?
No, I'll just hazard the thought about, the so-called artificial ground. I mean, there's lots of things to try, but there's always that MFJ artificial ground or somebody else's.
Sure, okay. Well, very good. Let's see. Who do we have next in this party? Who else was going to jump in with a comment?
2JEK.
Yes, Mr. Don.
No, it's a, heck, I mentioned a French drain, but would there be such a possibility of a sump pump where you could put a ground rod in the basement that, without drilling a hole in the floor and upsetting the water tightness of your battleship, so to speak? That was available, but you know, the water, you're near a cold water pipe, I guess that would be another thing you could attach to, is a cold water pipe. Might be another thought too, is the especially if you have copper piping in your plumbing system.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Yeah, I don't have a sump pump. Fortunately, I'm up on a ridge, and the sump pump's not necessary. I'll give some consideration. I hadn't considered the cold water pipe. That may be worth looking into. Thank you.
Very good and very nice. Okay. Anybody else? All righty. Randy, do you want to put some ribbons on this or add anything else? Okay. Well, that's great. Thank you, Randy. That's a good question. Howie, your question, K2EIR, K2BAR.
I think I did a Google search myself, but I didn't try every possibility. You know, I was too full of myself. I thought for sure I had to be right about the SFT part and sent him a reference or two. But it was, I'm pretty sure it was a knob on a radio, you know, or control on a radio. It could have been an SDR. I didn't find out.
I'm trying to think... if there's another thing, something like fast tuning or something.
I don't know. Oh, well, too late for the QSO, you know. My uncle used to say, if you speak and tell, you only tell what you already know. If you listen, you may learn something. I sometimes need to do a little bit more listening. Thought I'd try it. Thanks, K2EIR.
That's a provocative question. You know, higher minds want to know. Yeah, in my case, lower minds want to know.
KD2DDK?
Harry, go ahead.
Just a dumb question here. Could that be an extra F? Could it have been misunderstood and it's simply ATF or AFT?
I don't think so.
Okay, end of comment. Just figured I'd throw the thought in.
I kind of deduced that the A, good good alternative, Gordon, saying adaptive. I thought A might have stood for audio, fast Fourier transform, you know, that it was an audio filter that, you know, was on some radio using, you know, using these routines, whether in the sound card or as an SDR, you know, on one of these processors. Oh, well, someday we'll find out, right? K2EIR.
KCC, you on HM frequency?
Well, if there's anybody on this frequency who would know on a routine basis, he might be the guy. We're just trying to take a little time to do another search. It failed miserably. All right, well, it's a good start. Do we have any more questions or comments for the net for tonight?
W2NPR.
Mr. Hector, go ahead.
I know it's towards the end of the net, but just wondering, what would cause a PLL circuit to fail in a transceiver other than the obvious too much voltage or damage from lightning and things of the like?
You mean like electrostatic discharge, subcomponent failure leading to overcurrent, things like that?
Yeah. My Pro 3 of a couple of weeks ago decided on its own to become not only deaf, but mute. It wouldn't transmit nor receive. It was without provocation. I was sitting here one night listening to a QSO on 15 meters, about 8:30, quarter to nine at night, where typically that band would shut down. And a few minutes later, I went to 80 meters, go listen there, and I heard nothing. Long story short, I find the radio became not only deaf, but mute. It wouldn't transmit. It was almost like I pulled the coax out of the back of the radio. So anyway, off to ICOM it went, and I talked to them today, and that's what they're telling me, is the PLL circuit has failed along with a bunch of other things, and thought that it was either too much voltage, or it was ESD, or lightning, and I was given a very expensive estimate to repair the radio. And after talking with the technician, I gave him the chain of events of what happened, and I'm still scratching my head with, okay, that's fine. It's not the cause of the repair. It's what caused it. Because I am not going to pay for the repair and have the radio come back here only for it to happen again. So I'm trying to narrow down what could possibly cause that so that I know where I should start looking.
I'll be real honest. I had a Pro 2 and a Pro 3 and never had such issues. And I have a third floor ham shack. I mean, I have a number of, should we say, potentially nasty situational opportunities for my radio to fry itself. And I didn't have that problem, so I don't know. Anybody else?
The EIR question I would ask is, do you leave the radio attached to the antenna all the time?
I do, but, the coax is connected, but when I'm out of the shack, the coax switch is set to ground.
Okay, well, that's good. Again, static in one form or another is really nasty. I've lost some stuff to it, and where I was before, I had a long wire antenna outside, or even sometimes the ring gutter, and I just brought coax in, and I'd only attach it to the rig when I operated, so that was really divorced, but I had to learn to get into the habit of taking the